Good afternoon to everybody. My name is Dennis Shepherd. I'm the President of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. And I'm here today to do another in the series of guided meditations on behalf of our new upcoming care group. This care group is starting to get very, very close to its opening date. We do intend to open our phone lines somewhere in the beginning of May. So you can look forward to that. There will be some information about it on our website. The care group will have its own little drop-down menu in our Buddhist Society website, so you can read all about that on the website. But you'll also see these series of guided meditations in the same area. And what these meditations are about really is just about being able to use your own meditation to listen to yourselves, especially these days in these times of COVID and the crisis that we're all feeling, just the fear and the trepidation around all of this, and perhaps even the implications that happen as we're all locked down and by ourselves in our house without sort of being able to get outside, perhaps even going a little bit stir crazy. So these series of guided meditations are really aimed just to look inside ourselves, just to see what is going on in these particular circumstances and just how we can use our meditation to help understand it and perhaps even have a big win from what it is that we're doing here. Because in many ways, I mean, I notice myself now as the weeks have gone on in lockdown, just how people do seem to get used to the way that we can relax with ourselves, just in the way that when we start meditation, it does take a little while to settle ourselves down, to settle our mind and our body down, just so that we can relax and just be with the breath. So in many ways, I'm starting to notice that this is really happening too with at a little bit of a larger scale with people, where we are starting to get used to this lockdown situation and not so keen to perhaps get out and start up the furious pace of life again. In fact, it's been quite a pleasure just to see, in a way, what I've been thinking about is really the whole of the world, if you like, taking its foot off the neck of our planet, because you can see the planet really just starting to come good again. Just the fact that there's no planes in the sky, the fact that we're not driving our cars around everywhere. By and large, the atmosphere is much cleaner, and I think in a way you can sort of feel how the earth is breathing a bit of a sigh of relief. So from my point of view, I'm sort of hoping that this whole episode gives us the opportunity to rethink what we're doing with our lives, to rethink what we're doing with this world, so that we can live more in harmony, so that we're not sort of racing out to fill our minds up with all sorts of stuff that maybe we don't need to have. In fact, that's really what the guided meditation today is going to be about, because I wanted to focus it around loneliness and really and the depression oftentimes that loneliness brings. Loneliness is really it's an interesting thing to be with, and it is definitely something that we can use our meditation to look directly at. And just with a few notes that I've got here, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of an overview of just where we're going to take the guided meditation today, because loneliness, I think, is really, in many ways, it's a loss of connection. And we can see this loss of connection really in the way that our mind sort of gets stuck looking at junk all the time, looking at conditioning that really is conditioning that takes us to extremes, grasping onto the conditions that take us to extremes, wanting this, wanting that. And then the more that we get involved in sort of into these desires, into the idea of wanting this or wanting things to be this way or that way, we do start to see that we're starting to get involved with an extreme. And as soon as we do that, the very nature of the dual existence that happens in this world, the fact that everything that we bring into existence has an opposite. This is a very, very profound thing for us to concentrate and for you to think about too, because this happens not only just with ideas and with views and opinions and things like that. It actually happens in the physical world as well, because as the physicists and scientists will tell you, there is, for any particle or compound that comes into existence, there is always an opposite to it. You create an electron, you get a positron. You create a proton, you get an antiproton. You create matter, you get antimatter. This is all there to be seen just in the reality of what physics tells us about the physical world. But it runs through too into our mental world, so that you can always see that if you wanted to bring up an idea of smooth, say, if I can feel this table here and say, yes, this is smooth, I only really know that it's smooth because I also know what rough is. So this dual nature of the way that our minds work is really always there for us. And when we do start to get involved in some of the extremes of living, and sometimes that's quite exciting too, I fully acknowledge that, but when you get involved in living into those extremes, there will always be the opposite that comes up for you. The opposites of happiness is sadness. You can just really run through with the whole range of things that we think about, night and day, rough and smooth. So that's all there in this dual nature, in the way that we kind of see the way that our world works for us. And when we do get caught up in these extremes and the extremes, we kind of lose perspective. And we know as meditators, as you all know, I'm very sure that you probably all have a very good experience of just what the present moment is. Because when we meditate, when we're doing meditation, this is what we're doing. We're looking towards the ability to be able to settle into this present moment, because we know that this present moment, when the past is coming up to the present moment, we know that at the present moment, everything in the past is then gone. From the present moment, it's gone and it's finished. The past finishes at the present moment. But also, looking the other side of the divide, you can see that none of what is there in the future has started past the present moment. So anything that we might speculate about, we might want to try and understand about the future, has not yet come at the present moment. So we can see that this present moment is like the dividing line between past and future. But this also sets up a dividing line for us with things like anxiety and depression. You know, anxiety is usually a condition that is involved when we start to get too involved in the extremes of the future, worried about what's going to happen, worried about all sorts of things that could or might happen. And then we look back the other way and we can see that depression most often is involved around things that we've done, things that we're sad about, things that we wished were different, that we didn't quite do that the way that we did it. And so there's this, oftentimes it can be shame, can be all sorts of feelings like that that sort of allow us to just fall into this funk, a depressive nature. And when we're just involved in these extremes, whether it's the extremes of the past or the extremes of the future, the anxiety or the depression, we can notice that we are very far from the reality and the truth of the present moment. And this is, of course, why meditation is such a wonderful thing to be involved in, because meditation allows us to be right there in the heart of the present moment, allows us to see what the present moment is. In fact, meditation is really a process that allows us to uncover the present moment, to allow us to go deeply into the present moment. And this is where the Buddha told us to look. This is really, as we delve deeper and deeper and get closer and closer to the present moment, we can start to see and understand the things that the Buddha saw and understand. We can actually start to see the things that he was pointing to. So there is this realization that comes, and in many ways we can see that loneliness itself can be quite a catalyst for us to understand this. So we can turn this on its head in a way and say that loneliness can be very, very helpful for us to understand the present moment, because when we are sort of involved in these extremes, we're involved in the dukkha of life. And when you know and when you see that you are involved in the dukkha of life, of course you are looking very, very closely, you're looking right at what it is in fact the first noble truth, the noble truth that the Buddha spoke about as dukkha. So knowing dukkha and knowing that that's the first noble truth does give us the clue that this depression, this loneliness, the funks that we feel we fall into can be a catalyst to allow us to see what the Buddha saw. It's a catalyst that can allow us to come back and focus more on the present moment. But the other wonderful thing that it does too is that when we're looking for ways to make this happen for ourselves, we find that the Eightfold Noble Path is there, which is the fourth noble truth that the Buddha spoke about. I'm going to talk about the second and the third noble truth just in a moment. But the fourth noble truth, of course, the Noble Eightfold Path, is a way where we can perhaps look at the moral side of our existence. And when we look at the first three there, right speech, right action and right livelihood, we can know that when we practice with these three aspects that the Buddha spoke about in the Noble Eightfold Path, that we can be confident that the moral side of our life is okay, and it's getting itself prepared for the meditation, prepared for what it is that the Buddha said that we should be doing. So it does have this moral aspect to it, right speech, right action and right livelihood. And then of course with the meditation side, we've got right concentration, which is, we talk sometimes in Buddhism about this being right samadhi, the way that our mind can sort of zone in, can look deeply into the way that we resolve the present moment, sort of going deep in. So that's right concentration or right samadhi. And then the second part of this aspect is right mindfulness. So here we're looking at something a little bit more broader. We've got the depth of what we're looking at in our meditation, the depth that takes us right down deep. But then we've also got this mindfulness, which is a more broad-based way of looking at our lives in a more general way, maybe not so. Mindfulness is something that we can use in our everyday life because we're keeping ourselves present. We're keeping ourselves right up to date with where the present moment is, and this is what this practice is for, right mindfulness. And then of course the third aspect in this meditation part of the Eightfold Path is right energy. I want to just talk a little bit about that too just before we go on and do the meditation in a moment. So that's the first two aspects. So we've got the moral side covered, and then we've got the meditation side covered, but then there's two other parts of the Eightfold Path, which is right view, which means that we're kind of seeing things in the right way. We're starting to understand what this world is doing, how we are being involved in this world, how we actually notice and see, really in the same way that the Buddha saw the world and how it works. So that's the first component of the wisdom aspect of this Eightfold Path. The second component is right intention. So this is developing the right way to live our lives, to be able to sort of see the right view. So you can see that right there, we've kind of noticed, we've already been through the first noble truth of dukkha, understanding what that is, and we have certainly seen what that is as we're fiddling around and playing in the extremes of our lives. And then we're starting to see the practice that we need to bring into play to in the fourth noble truth, the Eightfold Noble Path. The fourth noble truth is sort of showing us the right way to be able to sort of see and understand what the Buddha saw. So when we do start practicing in this way, we can sort of start to notice that we are focusing down towards this present moment where we have got the ability to uncover this present moment and be close to it. And then, as I'm going to be demonstrating for you in the guided meditation in a moment, as we do go deeper and deeper into the present moment, as we with our meditation to get closer and closer, we notice that there is this stillness that's there right in the heart of the present moment. This is stillness that I would really probably qualify a little bit by calling it still consciousness. It's being conscious of the stillness that is right there in the heart of the present moment. I mean, you can look at this and you can call it, maybe if you like, you can call it emptiness. You could call it spaciousness. Probably doesn't really matter what we call it, but still consciousness is something that is right there in the heart of the present moment, and it's there for us all to find. I mean, this is not necessarily a religious or a spiritual thing. It's just there as part of the human condition. We can actually notice and see this. But then once we do notice that still consciousness that they're right in the heart of the present moment, when we know that it's there and we can be mindful of it continuing through time, we can see the stream of this still consciousness that's there. And it's very apparent. It's something that's very, I wouldn't necessarily say easy to see, but it's something that we can cultivate. We can cultivate it and we can amplify it so that it's there with us all the time. So this still consciousness is very, very important to a very important part of the meditation. And then once we have that still consciousness then there, we have a datum to be able to see the world against. When that datum of still consciousness is there, we can see all of the conditions that arise and finish as they come into existence and they finish, all arising and finishing inside this pure consciousness. The pure consciousness, when I look out into this room, I can see the stillness, I can experience the still consciousness and the spaciousness that's in this room. And you know there's various things like the words that I'm saying are going to be beginning and ending quite quickly, especially if I slow down and emphasise the start and emphasise the finish. You can see that these words are beginning and ending in this still consciousness. Now, this is a very important thing to notice because this is the second and the third noble truth at play right in our own minds, right here where we're looking at it. And when the Buddha talked about seeing all that he saw in this fathom-long length of body, this is exactly what we can do. This is exactly what we do when we're practicing our meditation. We're actually looking at the second and the third noble truth. And what are they? The second noble truth is basically just the beginning of dukkha, that dukkha is arising. Dukkha conditioning. The conditioning of whatever it is arises. And then as we look further and we're with it, we can sort of take a breath. So I can breathe in. It's a condition arising. But then I breathe out and it's a condition finishing. So right there I can see against this still background of consciousness, still consciousness, that there is a beginning of a condition and an ending of a condition. Now the breath is a fairly quick thing. It's not something it's long lasting. But when we start to be mindful of these things, we notice that these beginnings and endings are happening all the time in all sorts of conditions, at all sorts of scales. So we have the breath, beginning and ending, but then also there's a day that we can quite easily notice begins and ends, and then perhaps a year beginning and ending, And then perhaps even we can start to intuit what it means to have a life beginning and ending. This life beginning and ending all begins and ends in the stream of still consciousness that is there for us all of the time to notice. So we can intuit the fact that we were born. Perhaps we don't remember ourselves being born, but we know that we were, and our families will certainly be able to confirm that for us. But then we also know that we will finish this life. But when you start to get confident with this still consciousness and being with this stillness all of the time, you can be very sure that that beginning and ending is also something to be seen. And that same beginning and ending is there really for all of the conditions. And we can take that even right through, well, let's just look at maybe the conditioning of still consciousness itself. When the Buddha explained what still consciousness said, he said that it begins and ends countless times in the wink of an eye. So just imagine that. This still consciousness, and this way it feels too, it resounds. There's a resounding nature to this still consciousness when you experience it. The way that it iterates, going round and round. And as the Buddha said, countless times in the wink of an eye. But yet at the other extreme, we can look at a universal cycle and we can see that a universe begins and ends. It begins sometime right back when, heaven knows when. Scientists these days are telling us 14,000 billion years. So if the Big Bang happened then, well, okay. But then the ending of it, when is the end of a universe? But we know that that will come to pass in the stillness, probably in very, very, as they say, deep time, time that's almost unimaginable. So all these things do have a scale, but we can start to notice and intuit how all of this is happening as we're watching this still consciousness. We can see all the conditions arising and finishing. So we've got the Four Noble Truths all covered. They're right in this meditation process as we're sitting and just going into our meditation. So with those few words, I'd just like to leave that there now. We're going to start some meditation. And during the guided part of the meditation, I wanted to just introduce you to some of the other aspects that the Buddha talked about when we're looking at this whole subject of our lives and the way that we can get ourselves caught up in depressions and anxieties and loneliness and all sorts of troubles, and just where that begins and how we can use that to our advantage and come back to the present moment where we start to see reality, where we start to experience the beauty of what it is that we're seeing there, the beauty and the truthfulness that is right there in the heart of the present moment. So I'm just going to take a little sip of water. And I would like you to make yourself comfortable. Your right hand on top of the left, thumbs just gently touching, top of the head pointing to the ceiling. Closing your eyes. Just letting your tongue rest gently against the palate of your mouth. And we're going to start off, first of all, by just grounding ourselves, just making sure that we are nicely centered here on our cushion, on our seat. You can feel the way that gravity sort of pulls us into our seat, into our meditation posture. We're using enough energy just to keep ourselves nice and upright. And we're making that resolution that we are going to leave everything that's external outside, any extraneous noises that you hear. We're just leaving all of that be and just bringing the attention inside. And I'd like you just to start by putting your attention on your toes. You can feel your toes against the floor or perhaps against the fabric of your socks. If that's still a bit of a trouble, you can just give them a bit of a wiggle. So you have got your attention right on your toes. And then I'd like you just to bring the attention over the arch of your foot and round back into your heel. Just feeling and experiencing everything that you can. The way my legs are, I can actually feel my heel against the leg, and I can feel the callus that's there on the bottom of the heel. Then as I move my attention up through my foot into the articulated part of the ankle, I can feel all that. And then moving up into the calf and round the shins. And then moving up through the knees and the thighs. Putting the attention on your bottom. Just feeling the pressure there on your seat. And then moving the attention up into the lower back area and into the stomach. And here I always like to just take notice of what's happening internally if I can, just to experience and sense any gurgles or little movements, rushes, anything like that. Whenever I'm experiencing anything like this, it always helps me understand the impermanent nature of this body and just the amount of conditions that are happening, the conditions that are coming together to allow my body to be the way that it is. And then I move my attention up into the chest area and the upper back. And again, I can feel there many rhythms, sort of valves opening and closing, rushes, pulses. And then I'm experiencing my arms as they're hanging by my side, bent at the elbows, through the forearms, into the hands and into the fingers. And here, because the fingers are so sensitive, there's so many nerve endings that come to there, you can actually start to sense there like a little fizzing or an effervescent feeling, tingling. And if you just relax into that tingling a bit, you can notice it will sometimes sort of move so that you can notice it around the rest of your body. If you're really lucky, you might even find yourself sort of floating off the floor a bit, or feeling like that anyway, just as the tingling starts to pick up a momentum. But then moving your attention up through your neck and into your head, round the back of your eyes and round your lips, where there is in effect that same tingling, and even at the top of your head. This is sometimes apparent there. And then when you feel yourself anchored into this position, just knowing that you are grounded, part of this earth. Your body is part of this earth. You can feel, almost imagine, the field lines flowing round and round, right from the centre of the earth, up through your body, anchoring, belonging to this earth. And then also we can start to notice that this body and this earth really is something that belongs to the whole universe. We can know that the whole of this earth is involved with the universe, with the way that the universe moves, holding it all together with the gravity. And we can sense that belonging to this universe. We're earthed, we're grounded, we are part of, we are connected to this universe. And it's all there to see, right in the heart of our meditation practice. So then when you're ready, what I'd like you to do is just to find your breath and just start to notice the breath as it flows in and it flows out. Just allowing yourself to relax so that you can see this very clearly. You can know where the breath is at any particular point in time, whether it's flowing in or flowing out. So you can know this right here and now, just what's the breath. Now you can also know that as each breath begins, we are looking at the second noble truth. This is a conditioned beginning. And then as the breath ends, we're looking at the third noble truth. This is where conditions end. So the second noble truth is looking at conditions beginning. So breath comes in. And then conditions ending in the third noble truth as the breath flows out. And you're just feeling your whole body relax. Relaxing deeply. Part of this world, connected in completely to this universe. And as you start to relax with this coming and going, this beginning and ending, you might now start to be able to see that there's a sound of silence or a stillness, an experience of stillness that surrounds your breath as it goes in and it flows in and it flows out. It's quite a palpable thing. Something that you can definitely experience. Now your mind is not moving. It's just listening to the words that are being spoken and experiencing the breath as it comes in, begins, and flows out as it ends. Only to condition the new breath in and out, beginning an ending. and you're starting to see that all of this is happening in the stillness of the moment. And already we're starting to see how the hindrances, the five hindrances that the Buddha told us about, are starting to dissipate as we are just watching the breath and knowing the stillness that the breath is arising and finishing in. As we're experiencing that, we can know quite clearly that we are very close to the present moment. We can also know in terms of the hindrances that the first and second hindrance, first hindrance of desire, and the second hindrance, the polar opposite, its duality of aversion, desire and aversion, are moving far away. And we can notice in our minds that we are now starting to play around with the balance point between desire and aversion. And hopefully you will be starting to experience this as contentment. The mind's just content to be with the breath, to be with the stillness, without reaching out to try and grab desires or hold on to any aversions that we might have. You're starting to notice that there's just contentment, the balance point between these two hindrances. Just right there. You can know what this feels like. What it feels like to have your mind content, still. And you don't need to try and listen to understand the words that you're hearing, the words that I'm speaking, because they too are just conditions coming and going, beginning and ending. Just words that begin and words that end. So you can just allow your mind to be totally content between those extreme hindrances of desire and aversion. Not wanting anything. Just content to be present. Content to be with the stillness and the rising and the falling of the breath. And then you might also start to notice that the third and the fourth hindrance, the third hindrance being restlessness, and the fourth hindrance being sloth and torpor. Again, two polar opposites, dualities. And we can start to see that there's a balance between those two. The mind is awake and it's attentive, but it's far from restless. The mind is also rested and it's calm, but it's far from being slothful or full of torpor. the energy is nicely balanced. You can see that it's balanced. It's balanced in the contentment. And you can know this. Know it for yourself. And then, as I introduce the fifth hindrance of doubt, you can start to see that doubt is not a problem in this, at this particular time, because we are totally absorbed in the contentment and the stillness of the mind. There's nothing to be doubtful about because we know that we are present. Present with our breath. Present with the still consciousness that's there. As the condition of the breath just rises and ceases, begins and ends. So we can start to see in our meditation practice just how this stillness can penetrate into the conditions and relax them. We can start to see how important it is to be grounded and relaxed with an eye to the present moment, because it does bring about contentment in your life. And as you start to see deeper and deeper into this present moment, you can start to understand and see the beauty and the truth that is there. You can know beyond any doubt that you're starting to see and experience what the Buddha saw and experienced. You can also start to see that this still consciousness is very important, because in this still consciousness, this is where things begin and end. So when we've got troublesome conditions happening for ourselves, loneliness, depression, anxiety, we can see that by relaxing ourselves, practicing meditation and bringing our mind to this present moment allows us to bring contentment to mind, to experience balance. And we start to understand how our mind works, how this still consciousness is just so powerful, how it has the ability to penetrate into troublesome conditions and relax them, allow them to dissipate and finish. We can also notice that this still consciousness has the ability to create all that's good in our lives. so we can purposely move to create things that are wholesome, morally good, helpful, beneficial for our family and friends, beneficial for the world. We can start to notice and see how we can create a better world for ourselves and for others. We can do this especially when we know how to make our minds content, how to bring our minds back closer to this present moment. What we're experiencing here is the power of this meditation, and you're able to see that by being able to listen into yourself, to listen into your own mind, and then to use the Buddha's teachings, the Eightfold Path of practice, to bring real contentment, real balance into your life. Well beyond any of the vicissitudes of anxieties and depressions and loneliness. We're starting to live with truthfulness and reality. We're not caught up in the incongruencies of thinking that we're grasping after something good when all it's doing is making us sick, making us mentally ill. We can see that the pathway is back to the present moment, back to the stillness that's right at the heart of the present moment. This is where real beauty lies. Real beauty and real truth. And we can also know that when we are at this point, we are on the grounds, in the grounds of the transcendent. We are very close to the Buddha's enlightenment. This is where he was pointing to. This is the way that he was pointing. To have the right view and then to practice with the right intention. To allow ourselves to understand and be with this present moment, to be with the pure consciousness that is there all of the time. It is never ever not there. So I'm just going to allow now a few minutes just to let you relax in silence so that you can cultivate and amplify this still consciousness. And then when I ring the bell in a few minutes, you will be able to bring this still consciousness back into the space where you're living right at the present time. So in a moment, I am going to ring the bell three times, and I would like you just to use this particular time over the resonance of the three ringings to just reflect on what's happened for you, what you've learned from this guided meditation. And most importantly, when you open your eyes, to bring back the still consciousness that is there. And remember that you can always use this method of listening in to yourself, listening in to the dukkha that we create, into the problems that we create in our lives, to penetrate into those problems and relax them with the help of the still consciousness, the power of the still consciousness. As it does penetrate and relax the conditions, allowing them to finish. So I do hope you enjoyed that guided meditation, and I'll just finish by just saying that being connected to the present moment is really good for us. It does unify us, and in fact it completes and connects us. So the lack of connectedness when we're feeling lonely, when we are feeling unconnected to the world, unconnected to people around us, this is the way to go. This is the pathway to bring us back to the sanity of the present moment. So it is this still consciousness that is really right there in the heart of the present moment that can allow us to do this, can help us to do this. So just remembering in this way that we can really start to notice and see the dukkha, and to notice and see how you can use that dukkha, use that troublesome energy to help your own case. Use that troublesome energy to understand and notice and find out about the Eightfold Path, to practice the Eightfold Path. And that Eightfold Path will bring you back to the present moment where there is truthfulness and where there is this contentment to be had. This is really a true path to be able to have a cure for loneliness, for depression, for anxiety, and all of the side issues that run with those troublesome conditions. So we'll finish there and just bid you farewell. And just a reminder again that the care group will be opening their telephone lines probably somewhere around about the beginning of May. And we look forward to hearing from you if you would like to telephone in when those numbers become available and when we have finally got our doors opening. You might have heard a little bit of noise going on, a few power saws and things happening that came to disturb the meditation from the external while that was going on, but that is merely just the builders that are here that are creating the space for us to be able to do this work in. So it is all very good, and I look forward to speaking to you again on another subject very soon. Thank you.